Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to shift focus a little bit from social media and all of that to talk a little bit about parenting. But we're going to talk about some pretty atrocious parenting practices.
I said I was going to be, what'd you
curmudgeon.
Call me yesterday?
You said you were going to be curmudgeon.
I said I was going to be a curmudgeon.
I said cranky.
Cranky, that I was going to be cranky again today. I was cranky yesterday because we talked about social media and cell phones and how it interferes with my life and the people in my life. And I said I'm going to be cranky today, and I'm cranky today because of this topic, which is, it's called Haircuts and Walkouts, the Bad Side of Parental Control. This is another topic that heats up my blood.
And we've talked about it in a couple of different contexts before. I think we've had a couple of podcasts about it in the past, and we've written about it in in our
we write about
column
this in our book.
In our columns
about it.
But this is an extremely frustrating aspect of parenting that raises its ugly head several times a year. When some new report comes out, some new parent does something. A couple of years ago, there was the video that came out of the Texas judge who was spanking his teenage daughter, and while his wife was in the background telling the daughter to, take it like a woman, and there was
submit.
Yeah, and the reports from of parents who make their kids stand out on the side of the road with signs that say I lie, or I cheat, and those kinds of things, and
or the guy who shot his daughter's computer in the YouTube of his taking out his gun and shooting his daughter's computer,
and the guy who it was either his stepson or he was sort of a mentor to the child, and cut his hair in very unusual way, and recorded himself talking to the kid, kind of putting the kid down. You want to be a player, you want to do this, and meanwhile this is like a second or third grade kid, cuts his hair and makes him run outside with bags of sand, and I think that while those things are horrific, in my opinion, we'll get to it in just a second, but I think what's even worse is the response from other parents that say, we need more of that. We need more parents
like
that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That you see these things, you see the kid out with the sign, I'm a liar, I didn't do my chores, I stole money, and everybody applauds.
Right.
Or the guy shoots his daughter's computer, say, by God, that's what we need. We need more of that tough love. This guy's on the right track. And so we applaud these sorts of high-profile parenting, approaches to parenting. Last week, there was a news story about the family in Colorado or...
I think it's California.
California.
With the 13
California.
Kids.
With the 13 kids.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
And everybody was horrified by that. The line between what you were just, the kind of parenting you were just talking about, the line between that and what those parents did is so thin that most of us are going to cross it. If you're going to do authoritarian parenting, you're going to do authoritarian parenting. And the line between cutting your kid's hair and ridiculing him in public, make him go to school looking stupid, and what those parents did is indistinguishable.
And
there
is
no line between those two
things. I think that the only line that's there is that one family kept it hidden.
That's right.
And the other family recorded it and put it on public. And so
we saw
the veil was lifted in this hidden example. And so it was atrocious because, oh my gosh, how could they do all of that in, you know, behind closed doors versus, oh, here's some people who are doing it and they're doing it in public and they're recording it and posting it on online and everything. I think that's the only difference. And it's,
and I think that's a good point.
And so in this article, Paula White is the author, and it's from Psychology Today, and she's talking about, she uses a couple of examples.
Which are appropriate today because this is what happens.
Right.
And the first one is...
The first one is about a haircut.
This is so, this is such a sad story.
The mother gave the girl highlights in her hair.
For a birthday present.
Right.
Right.
The father didn't like it.
Right.
So he chops her hair up. And
did he cut her hair or did he have somebody else cut it?
But
it was a mess.
I think that the father did it, and but he cut it. She undoubtedly had long hair that went beyond her, below her shoulders, and he cut it to about, you know,
about
an inch
or two long. Yeah. Right. So,
yeah,
the humiliation of that for a teenage girl, and the other issue of the loss of autonomy. You know, we want you and I have daughters. We want our daughters to care for their bodies, to care about their bodies, and that it is their body. This is your body,
right.
Okay? And nobody can violate that. And that's what we teach, and we teach, and we teach. And here's this father who violates that, okay, by this authoritarian kind of discipline that he felt was appropriate. But what he took from his daughter...
It's terrible. The second example she uses is the mother who walked away from her son on National Signing Day. He's a star athlete, I suppose.
He's a high school athlete. He's a five-star athlete in high school.
And he was signing for...
And National Signing Day is a big deal.
Right.
I mean, schools have celebrations that day, and the news media is there, and everybody's around because here's a high school, a standout high school athlete who's making this... in this important decision about where he's going to go to he or she is going to go to college.
Right.
Okay. And here you are at the table with your mother. The cameras are rolling.
And he says, you know, I'm going to go with my heart. And he chooses a school. And the mother is appalled.
The mother walks
gets
out,
up and walks out.
Gets up and walks away.
Yeah.
This is the one of the biggest days of his life. And she just rips the heart out of it. Okay. Because she was displeased with his choice.
Right. So the... Again, these are just examples, and there are loads of examples of this type of authoritarian type of parenting.
Right. And authoritarian parenting is, I'm the boss, we're going to do this my way, by gosh, and there's little warmth, there's little affection, it's, I'm the boss, and we're going to do this my way.
Right.
Okay, that's authoritarian parenting.
Right. You know, the, and before we started recording this, I said we had to be careful, because there's a lot that could be said about these issues, and so, you know, I'm being cautious because there's so much that I would love to say that we've talked about on other podcasts, granted, but you know, the lack of privacy, the removal of autonomy, removal of agency. You know, we want our kids to develop a sense of self and a sense of confidence and a sense of control over themselves so that they, you know, don't succumb to peer pressure and they can make decisions on their own. Yet we engage in parenting practices that remove all of that.
You strip it from them. You know, we want them to regulate their own behavior. We want them to follow the rules whether we're there or not.
Right.
You know, just because I'm not around doesn't mean it's okay to drink or smoke weed or whatever.
Right.
You know, and we teach our kids. And yet, so many of our parenting practices remove that from them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, no, you're going to do what I say.
Right.
That's not self-regulation.
Right. That's not giving them the opportunity to exercise what you're hoping that they'll learn.
And I am going to punish you if you don't meet my expectations.
Right.
I'm going to punish you. You have to be very careful with that, because that's conditional. That also can be translated as, okay, so your affection is conditional.
Right.
You know, if I do exactly as you tell me to do, then I get your love. But if I make a mistake or if I fall short, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, you're going to withdraw it because I make a mistake.
And the mixed messages, like with the girl with her haircut. You know, mom was obviously okay with it.
Right.
But dad was the one who, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know whether these parents are together or not. Again, yeah. Whether they were divorced and living separately right. or something. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, it does not matter whether, right. you know, they
but the
should.
Mixed messages and the, again, the absence of the opportunity to be autonomous and to have agency and to mm-hmm. have some intrinsic sense of control mm-hmm. of one's life. That's, yeah.
You know, in psychology, we have a thing called object relations.
Right.
And I always think about that authoritarian parenting says, you're an object.
Right.
It the underlying message is you're an object. I can do whatever I want to do to you.
Right.
We are going to do this my way.
Yeah.
You're simply an object in my life, mm-hmm. and it's my job to do this, and I'm going to do it to you.
And
not
parents,
with you, I'm going to do it to you.
And parents say that.
Yeah.
You know, the kids want to, you know, how many times have you talked to a teenager who wants to close their bedroom door,
mm-hmm.
and the parents are like, no, that's my door. That's my room.
Right.
I pay the bills here. That's, anything in there is mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're completely taking away their identity
and ability
yeah.
to learn how to manage it themselves.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so, what do you think is going to happen when they are 18 and they're going off to college, or they right. move out and they're living on their own, and then they start making all these really right. bad decisions? Well, it's
and,
not
and we're not saying you just let them do whatever.
Right.
That's not what
sure.
we're saying at all. You have to have structure. You have to have boundaries. Okay.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful about things like autonomy and turning your kids into objects and being this. We're going to talk about this another later, but parents have this feeling that it's their job
mm-hmm.
to, and if they don't do their job, that they've somehow failed or they're going to be humiliated
right.
by their kids' behaviors. And that's that really isn't necessary. But
right.
I mean, it's a topic for another day. But we have to stop short of treating our kids
right.
like objects.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, I think, the first message here.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and she talks about a path to a better future.
Right.
And she talks about, you know, active listening, you know, engaging and interacting from the perspective of allowing some of that autonomy,
right.
allowing some of that learning to happen.
That's right.
Which we've talked about in a lot of different podcasts.
Right. Because what these things do, the haircut and walking away and so many things, putting up signs and putting kids on
mm-hmm.
the street with signs and all that, it's a withdrawal of our affection.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we advocate parents, is warmth and affection. Those
mm-hmm.
are the two things we want you to be as a parent. We want you to be warm and we want you to be affectionate. When you do these kind of harsh haircuts and public humiliations,
mm-hmm.
you're withdrawing warmth and affection.
Right.
There's nothing warm and affection about that.
Right.
And the other thing that it does is it induces guilt. We
mm-hmm.
want our kids to
right.
feel guilty.
Right.
You don't want to do that to your children. I mean,
right.
there are better ways to accomplish the same thing, is
right.
what we're saying.
Well,
we're not saying don't. We're saying do it a different way.
Well, you want, and there's a fine line here, but you want them to feel guilty, perhaps. You want them to feel responsible, but you want them to feel that based upon their own understanding of things, not because you said you should feel guilty about this.
That's right. I'm imposing guilt on you.
Right.
You must feel guilty.
Right.
You know,
and,
or you should feel guilty.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just as an example, another way that father could have handled it, instead of cutting her hair really short, he could say, well, you know, I really would have liked to have been part of the conversation.
That's right.
About how you're going to do your hair, because that's a pretty significant difference. And have a conversation about why she feels as though she can't check with him
right.
first or talk with him about something first, so he has, you know, some involvement in her decision making.
Yeah, many times we've talked about that when you lash out at your children, it's really because they've hurt your feelings.
Right.
You know, and if this dad had said, look, when you make a decision like this, I would appreciate being able, what you hurt my feelings.
Right.
You made a decision, an important decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it life-changing? No. Was it temporary? Yes. Was there any permanent harm done? No. This is all going to grow out.
Yeah.
I mean, your hair's going to grow. But honey, when you make these kind of decisions, I'd just like to be part of the decision-making process, because
yeah.
it hurt my feelings that you made the... Because she's going to make decisions about body piercings
mm-hmm.
and alcohol and drugs and staying out late. And she's going to be making other decisions of consequence that dad should be a part of.
Right.
Okay. But that's the lesson you want to teach.
Right.
Is you hurt my feel. I'm not angry at your hair. My feelings were hurt that you omitted me from the decision.
Right.
I don't know what I would have said. I may have said, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I just would like to be part of the decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we fail our children.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have been a learning opportunity because mm-hmm. then the girl says, geez, my dad cares enough
yeah.
about my hair.
And then any guilt that she feels would be guilt that she feels about for
that's
herself.
Right. That's right.
You know, not because it's being imposed on
her. That this is an important person in my life and right. I left him out of this decision.
Right.
That's her own guilt, okay,
right.
that teaches a lesson,
right.
you know, not imposed.
Right.
So, and leave out the public humiliation.
Oh, don't get me started on God. That. You're going to you're making me cranky.
I said I was going to be cranky today.
All right. Well, that's it for today.
No, it isn't. I have more to say.
Oh, do you?
Maybe, yeah. This is another example of, because these are both about teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
When we move from...
These are both...
The kids in this were teenagers.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And the lesson here is that we want to move from attachment parenting to detachment parenting.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And instead of these parents continuing to rule over these kids,
mm-hmm.
they should be giving them
yeah.
some of the control.
Right.
Okay. And you make that by... It should be a warm relationship. You have to do active listening,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it has to be mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the direction you should be moving when your kids become teenagers,
yeah.
okay? There's another article that we're going to talk about sometime in the future, and the psychologist talks about the collaborative relationship.
Right.
You know, when you get to be a teenager,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier about the dad spanking a
yeah.
teenage daughter.
Right.
You don't spank a teenage daughter.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't even know where to begin with that one.
Right.
I mean, that's like teaching her to be an abused spouse. You know,
right.
It's okay. I'm a man.
And with the mom saying,
take it like a girl.
Or woman.
Something. Take it like a woman. You know,
yeah.
Like, this is your role.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get married, this
yeah.
is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how it is. And so we don't... We should be moving, when kids are teenagers, in a very different direction
yeah.
toward detachment parenting. Because after all, these kids are going to leave when they're 18.
Right.
And we want them to be able to self-regulate and make good decisions and without us being around.
Absolutely.
And you, that doesn't happen automatically.
Yeah.
You also have to teach that.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Be careful with your children, please.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
I could go on and on, but I won't.
Now that's
what day
it
is it
today?
Today?
Until next time, stay happy.
I think I'm in trouble.
No, you're not. It's Thursday. This podcast is going
today's
on
Thursday.
Thursday.
Today's
yes.
Wednesday. It's going to be broadcast Thursday.
Today,
that's why I asked.
Today's Tuesday.
And it's going to be on Wednesday.
And we're posting this on Thursday.
Good. Okay. Oh, no, I knew that. Okay.
If you had your phone, it would keep you... Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.